Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it is a good day to be here to witness this occasion. I don't think I need to say too much about baptism because it's all been said, and Sue's pretty much gone through with what she said this morning about why she's doing it. She's doing it because she wants to be obedient to what the Word of God says, and that's believe and be baptized. And that's what's going to be happening today, and it's going to be an open declaration amongst all the Spanish and the Brits on the beach for a few minutes today that Sue means business with God. That's what she really said herself. This is the day. And it was wonderful yesterday. Duncan said to be down at Hercle. That's why I look a little bit red under the gills this morning, because I didn't smile too much. My face was cracked because it was so hot down there, and with seven people being baptized. And it was a wonderful privilege to be down with them there at Hercle yesterday. And you know what really thrilled my heart? When I looked at the ages, the age group of the people being baptized, they must have ranged between 60 and 80. I know one lady was certainly 75, 76. Starting a new life in Jesus. A new life in Christ. You know, we don't have to be, you know, kids. You know, when God calls us and releases us and changes our lives, that's a new start. And this one lady said to me at the end, she came and said goodbye, and she said, you know, she said, today is the start of the rest of my life. At 75, 70, what amazing things. I know we baptize people here older than that, but, you know, it just thrilled my heart just to hear the testimony after testimony of the seven people who just really wanted to just do what Jesus said and be obedient to him. But that's not what I'm speaking about today. We read Psalm 91, and I said to Patrick, oh, that's a lovely psalm. I said, yeah, well, I'm not really going to speak much about that. I want to speak a little bit about Psalm 92. And it's amazing when Pat sent me through Jill and Martin's email last night, part of my message, well, we'll be talking about trees, really. We'll be talking about palm trees today, and how Jill said there when she walked into the park and the cathedral of the trees and the grass and the colours and the stuff that God has made. You know, you can't replicate it with anything else. It is something special. As I flew from Spain Wednesday morning for the funeral service, you know, there's something about England's green and pleasant land when you live in Spain for a few years. You see them little green fields and greens like you've not seen for years. And it's wonderful to see the colours. You know, God is such a precious, precious God. And so I've been looking at trees, and I think I did a message a year or two back on trees, but this is totally different. And it was really a look at the palm tree. And if you've got your Bibles, want to turn with me to Psalm 92, which is the next one after what we read and saw up on the screen this morning. Psalm 92, it says these words. In verse 12, Psalm 92, it says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And I was thinking about this, I was thinking, well, why would God sort of have a palm tree and a cedar side by side in one verse like that? Because we just know that when the temple was first built, how much they used the cedars of Lebanon, the straight trees, the trees that grew majestically in that part of the world in Palestine. You know, and we all know about the cedars, but somehow the palm tree is not quite, it doesn't quite have that same majestic look about it. You know, it doesn't offer a lot of shade. It's not that attractive. It doesn't bear a lot of fruit. There are not many palms that bear fruit. But a palm tree grows in a different way than a normal tree. And this is really what really sort of just, as I sort of prepared someone to share for Sue's baptism this morning. You know, a palm tree grows differently to any other tree. And when I was sort of looking at it and studying at it, I found something about a palm tree that's different from an ordinary tree. Yes, it may not grow a lot of fruit. I'm not looking at the fruitfulness of it today. I'm looking at the way it survives. The way the palm survives. Where do we see palms? In the desert. Where there's no water. Where there's little water. Where there's heat that most plants would just curl up and die in. Where there is arid conditions that nothing else would live in. Where man struggles to live, you'll find a palm tree. Why is that? Well, when I sort of studied a little bit, I found out the difference between a palm and an ordinary tree. An ordinary tree, you know, if you were to cut a ring around the bark, couple of inches gap, that tree will die. Because an ordinary tree, not only does it draw goodness from the ground and water from the roots, but it takes vitamins and minerals and water through the bark as well. So you cut a ring around that tree, right through to the core of the trunk, and generally that tree will die. Because you've, and that's why a lot of people say, I love Lucy with a heart on a tree, that somehow that tree never grows right around that after a while, because it does something to the tree. It stops growth in that area. And I was looking at this, and it says here in that psalm there, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. And if you read the rest of the psalm, you've got sort of David here, really sort of, and the psalmist looking at how much the enemy was bigger. You know, everything always throughout history, not even when you read the news today, you know, whether you agree with what the Israelis have done or whether you don't agree with what the Israelis have done out there in regards to what's happening in that part of the world at the moment. This nation for thousands of years has been besieged by enemies on every corner. And everybody has wanted to demolish and smash that nation. They live in that state all the time. They live in an almost like a permanent fear of attack, a permanent fear, and this is always going on. And you can almost read David's heart here as you read this psalm here. It says, you know, in verse 11 of 19, my eyes have also seen my desire on my enemies, my ears have heard my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. And David's looking at all these great nations that surround him, who are threatening him. And then here it says, but the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, like the cedars of Lebanon. They shall grow. Those who are planted, verse 13, in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. You see, even though everything around him was like desert-like, even though everything was coming in and hemming in from all sides, he could look and he could see the palm tree. He could see the difference. Now, a palm tree, you see, you can cut the bark off it. I remember Joan and Audrey trying to get rid of a palm tree in their front garden when they first came to Spain. Took some getting rid of. You know, you can take the bark, you can weave it, you can pull it off, you can do all sorts of stuff with it. But it's hard to kill the thing. It takes an Egyptian beetle or something to come to this area and actually start to kill the things. But generally, in the conditions they're in, it is so hard to destroy. Why? Because a palm tree doesn't take any goodness in from its outer layers. It all comes through the trunk. You know, I was thinking about this and I was saying, it's so like us, isn't it? You know, when in our flesh, in our outside covering, we operate and we do things in. Just the human side of us, we try and live our lives in that. How we struggle, how we fight to do things for God and whatever. But when we allow the Holy Spirit, the goodness that comes up through the trunk of the tree to operate in our lives, when we do things in the spirit, in the innermost part of us rather than the outer part of us, it's the outer part of us that becomes angry, the outer part of us that does all of these things, but in the inner part of us, you know. And sometimes, you know, it just amazes me how just through trees and plants God can just show his love for us. So it just really spoke to me as I was just preparing this short word for this morning. You know, a palm tree can be like a cedar in Lebanon. It has a way of growing that is different. You cut the cedar tree around the bark, as I said, and it will die. But you cut a palm tree, you can do it, you can hack at it, you can saw at it, you can do all sorts of things. And boy, does it take some. At the end of the day, you've got to literally drag it up by its roots to get rid of it. You know, and that's how we need to be as Christians today. So tenacious in our love for Jesus, so letting the sap of the Holy Spirit work through us, through the trunk of the person that we are, that we can actually live lives for the Lord. You know, and I looked, and in this section here in Psalm 92, it talks about several places. It talks about flourishing. You know, and I really believe, Sue, you're going to flourish. You know, you're not here today just to survive where you're at, but I believe you're going to flourish. And just like that lady said to me yesterday at that beach in Herculavera, she said, this is the start. Although you almost said it yourself from here this morning. This is the start of the rest of my life for Jesus. You know, let that sap be like that palm tree in its strength. You know, take the goodness in your heart and your spirit. And for all of us here this morning, let's just work what we do for God. Let's do it through the spirit that God has put within us and the spirit that moves. You know, God sometimes has to cut away at the flesh, cut away at our earthly things to make us more like Him. And this palm tree this morning that I'm talking about just really speaks to me about, you know, yeah, they may not be fruitful in themselves, but God will make you fruitful if you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your innermost being. You know, let's operate from what's within us that God has put there, not how we look. Often people say, don't judge. And God doesn't look on us by how we look externally. He looks at our heart. That's what the Bible says. Looks at our heart. He's looking at your heart this morning and my heart this morning. He's looking at what really makes us tick. Not how we look and how we appear to the world, but what's inside the very depth of us here. You see, this is the message this morning. That's not about just surviving like a palm tree, but flourishing like a palm tree. David talks of it flourishing, going on. And Sue spoke about going on from this day. This is her walk with God. You know, as you challenge everybody this morning here, like, what will you do with that God has put in your heart? You know, so many Christians just want to survive and stay there. And God wants us to move on with Him. He wants us to be strong. You know, He wants us to be have this attitude of the palm tree that we just draw from, right from the very being of us, that He's put within us. And let that spill out into a needy world. It's about growing in God this morning and producing fruit. It's not about surviving. You know, and so many people today just want to survive, want to stay where they're at, want to be. It's okay. We're okay. We're just treading water. God doesn't want us to tread water. You know, He wants us to walk on the water, but He doesn't want us to stay still. You tread water, you stay in the same place, just keep your head above it. God wants us to walk on the water in the Spirit this morning and just move to where He'd have us to be. Just flicking back quickly to a verse in Psalm 91 that we read out, Duncan read out earlier. You're very brave, Duncan, read out of my Bible in the end, because there's so many marks on it and things and highlights. And verse 14 just really touched my heart this morning. And this is for Sue and for everybody here this morning. It says, because you has set your love upon me. It's like God responding to the psalmist. He said, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Do you know the name of the Lord this morning? Do you know God's name? What is his name to you? It says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. With whom? The person that knows the Lord's name. And I just encourage you, church, this morning, get to know the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. That's what we sing so many times. The righteous flourish. You know what flourish means? It means to be strong and healthy. It means to grow well. And this is the lovely part about the meaning of flourishing. It means to be at one's most productive. That's what it says in the ordinary dictionary. It's not no Bible dictionary. It's what it says in the ordinary dictionary. It says to be at one's most productive. And that's what God wants us to be. At our most productive. To flourish. Not to just, you know, pray, oh, somebody come and give me a bit of water so that I may survive this. But Lord, with what I have, I draw on your strength in my spirit, through the trunk, not through the bark, not through my outer layer, my flesh, but through what you put in my heart. I want to flourish, God. You know, I want this church to flourish. I want your word, your kingdom to flourish here in Spain. You know, what part are we going to play in that? To flourish. The righteous. What is righteous? What does righteous mean? Righteous means, you know, free from sin and guilt. The righteous. When we give our lives to Jesus, as Sue said this morning, she gave her life to Jesus. She should declare that. Instantaneously, God set her free from sin and guilt. Instantaneously, God set her free from sin and guilt. And He offers that to us, every one of us this morning. It's as easy as that. Verse 15 of Psalm 91 says, I will be with him or her in trouble. You know, God doesn't promise us no trouble. But he says, if you're in trouble, I'm going to be with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. The Bible says, I'll be with you through the circumstances, with you through the situation. He doesn't promise us an easy life, a life, but he promises a life that's full, a life that is wonderful, a life that is tremendous, a life that is just glorious, because we know him and we know his name. And when we call on his name, he will answer. That's what the word of God says here this morning. You know, and I said I had the privilege to be at the funeral in London on Wednesday of my aunt, and I really felt I had just something I wanted to share. No one had asked me to say anything, and all the people gathered in the little chapel at the cemetery in Acton in London, and then my cousins and my uncle and his family, they all came in and sat down in front of the row in front of me, and then I don't even know what she is, but my cousin's wife. Cousin, whatever, second cousin. She turned around to me, handed me a piece of paper. She said, could you read this out? I thought, oh, wow, like, you know, sort of thing. It was sort of a bit of a shock. And it was something actually my sister had written from Canada and sent through on the internet. And they asked me to just read it out. And I read this out and was able also, they said, you share a little bit yourself. And I was able to share. This is why I wanted to pray for Gareth and Timothy today. Because, you know, they just need the comfort of Jesus in their lives. The wonderful thing was, as I sat on the park bench waiting for I was there a bit early, I did actually fall asleep in the sunshine, but there you go. This card drew up to me, near to me, and these two men got out, and they were my uncle's brothers. And there was Philip, who was 96, got out, absolute bright as a button, Bible under his arm. Andrew boy, so all Welsh, so good to see you. It's been years, man. And then his younger, the baby, was Michael, who was 91. Michael played the piano at the service. Wonderful. Albert, who was my uncle, my mum's sister, married to, just died. Albert was 93. Now Ralph was the youngster. He died a few years ago, but he think he died about 80, he was like 84, 86 when he died. You know, spiritual men, non-exempt from trouble, non-exempt from pain and suffering and hurts, but spiritual men, and they just reminded me of the palm tree that takes its sap right through the trunk, because these men were like just standing for Jesus. Every one of the four brothers was a minister in his own right. Every one of them. You know, and Philip, who's 96, still goes down to Hyde Park Corner, still stands on the soapbox, and still tells people they need to find Jesus. You know, and he was absolutely, he just got me into conversation, spoke. And it's wonderful. And I just saw in this family of men, you know, how, you know, that God has kept, and God has just kept them on, and they've just stood like the palm tree when everything came against them, and difficulties and the heat of the day and the heat of situations got at them. They stood, you know, to see Philip there with his Bible under his arm, and you know, and just be there and walk and talk and everything so bright. Just reminded me of how God keeps us, and God just looks after us. God's assurance to us and God's promise. Know the Lord's name. Call on him and he will deliver you. He assures us that when there is trouble, that he's going to be with us in the trouble. He's going to be with us in the difficult circumstances, and he will see us through. You see, Philip, Albert, Michael and Ralph entrusted their lives to Jesus when they were in their teenage years, and God has kept them through all of these years, ministering all over the world in different places. And my prayer is that every one of us here will be like that. We have opportunity to be like that, trusting God and move on with him. And just as I finish now, I just want to just read this out for Sue. This is for you specifically, Sue. Can't say it down the beach because it'll be so noisy, the sea will be roaring, the wind will be blowing, no one will hear anything. So I wanted to say this for you this morning. It's headed assurance. May Jesus assure you that as you follow him, you'll never meet a fear he cannot conquer. You'll never face an enemy he cannot defeat. You'll never enter a battle he cannot win. You will never have a need he cannot meet. You will never face a temptation he cannot overcome. You will never have a burden he cannot lift. You will never face a problem he cannot solve. You will never have a bondage he cannot break. You will never have a moment when he does not care. You will never have a time when he is not there. God bless you. God bless you. That's it really for this morning. I'm going to just pray now. And then we're going to go and get changed. And if you want to make your way to the beach, and then we'll come back. And then we're going to fellowship together over a cup of coffee afterwards. So with all the bits and pieces, all it leaves us to do now is to go. You know, the Bible says, you know, the word hallelujah means to be clamorously foolish. We're going to walk over to the beach and be clamorously foolish. We're going to shout out hallelujah. We're going to baptise this lady in the sea. And it's going to be a sign for everybody. You know, when Sue came out today and said, I want to do this thing, it just wasn't for you guys as friends, and it just wasn't for us, her church family. It was for God, and it says, God, I'm in business with you. And she's nailed the colours to the mast today, so this is what I want to do, because I want to follow you. And so let's just pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for that, Father, for Sue's testimony, for her witness, that Father, that you're going to just work in her life in a special way. Lord bless her. Father, I pray that Father that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to you. And Father, I pray that Father, as she is baptized, as she said, Father, that as she goes under the water, it's a sign, Father, all the old life is gone. And she wants to live a new life in you. It's going to be easy, but Father, you're going to be with her. That those words in Psalm 91, they say that Father, that we will have trouble, but I'm going to be there in your trouble. I'm going to see you through. I'm going to take you through. And Father, we pray this for Sue this morning. Pray for this church, every person here today. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstances, God is with you in the situation. We thank you that you're there, Lord, and we bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen.